From Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall gather from far away, and your daughters shall be carried into the nurse's arms. Then you shall see a radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For you shall come a ruler, who is the shepherd, my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called to the Magi, and learning from them the exact time when the star had appeared, he had sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They had been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, for they had left their own country by another road. Now, after they left, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for a child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt. And they remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Our Egypt I have called out my son." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. In a small southern town, a visitor during the Christmas season happened to see this beautiful nativity that showed great skill and talent. And one small feature bothered the visitor, however. The three wise men were wearing firefighter helmets. And totally unable to come up with a reason or an explanation, he left the scene. And at a convenience store on the outside of town, he asked the lady behind the counter about the helmets. Well, she exploded into a rage, yelling at the man, "You darn Yankees, you never do read the Bible." And he assured her that he did, but simply couldn't recall anything about firefighters in the Bible. While she jerked her Bible from underneath the counter and she ruffled through some pages and she finally jabbed her finger at a passage and stuck it in his face and said, "See, it says right here, the wise men came from afar." I wish I had had the forethought church sign before I left on vacation, because I think it would have been very appropriate to have posted, "Football is only a game. Spiritual things are eternal. Nevertheless, beat Alabama." Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise, shine, light, glory. I mean, four words that give us an optimistic, buoyant feeling when we encounter them in our text from Isaiah this morning. I mean, all of us want light in our lives. And this is especially true when daylight savings time goes into effect in the fall. I mean, at the winter solstice on December 21st, we only had 9 hours and 20 minutes of daylight. However, from that day on, our days or our daylight grows longer. And by the end of January, we should be up to a whopping 10 hours of light each day. And the prophet Isaiah tells us that the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We want glory as well. But now that's not as clear as daylight. I mean, just what is glory? And where can we find it? Well, glory is majestic beauty and splendor, such as the glory of bright stars on a winter's night. We say we give someone glory for producing a gorgeous work of art. We sometimes experience glory as a bright and powerful light, such as when the shepherds were abiding their sheep by night around Bethlehem. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But I think the simplest and clearest definition of glory is offered by Christian writer Friedrich Bruckner. Glory is, he says, God's style. When the Bible tells us that the heavens are telling the glory of the Lord, it is saying that the heavens are revealing God's sunsets, starry nights, dust storms, rainforests, the human face. All, says Bruckner, are unmistakably the work of God's style. On the day of Epiphany, God's style was revealed to the world when the wise men made their visit to the baby Jesus. And Matthew tells us that they followed a bright star to Bethlehem. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. They gave him glory. The Magi were the first to see that Jesus reveals the grace and love of God to the world in a bright and unmistakable way. He is a child who grows up to show God's style in everything he says and does. So Epiphany is all about the glory of God being revealed to the world. But what is the effect of this glory upon us? Light, beauty, splendor, and style don't mean much unless they have a positive effect. Now, I am not making this up. This is true. Research shows that glory is good for you. In fact, being a fan of a sports team in particular can have positive effects. According to Atlantic Magazine, a landmark 1976 study described fans' tendency to embrace a winning team as basking in reflected glory. The key is having an experience of glory. And I'm sure that IU fans were basking in reflected glory with the team's blowout over Alabama during the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. I have to say, it was one of the most exciting games I've watched. It was a good day for singing Queen's "We Are the Champions" over and over again. Now, probably not a lot of glory for fans of the Crimson Tide or even the Purdue fans of our congregation. Well, one thing I do know is that I do believe that our Purdue fans were probably rooting for IU to beat Alabama because it's cool, and we want Indiana to have some glory. Well, the prophet Isaiah was writing to God's people in times of deep darkness, one that was even gloomier than a January night. He promised that although thick darkness was covering the people, something good was about to happen. The Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Isaiah sensed how God was going to come to earth, which is why he said, "Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." And we think of these words when we sing We Three Kings. The words of Isaiah come together with one of our favorite carols to help us bask in the reflected glory of Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, a child who is the clearest possible example of God's style. And on the day of Epiphany, we remember the coming of the light of Christ into the world, a light that drives away the darkness of sin, isolation, and despair. With Jesus, we have the gift of forgiveness whenever we fall into destructive behavior or wander into dark ways of life. With Jesus, we have the gift of Christian fellowship and connection with Christ and with each other when we become isolated or alienated from others. Jesus also gives us the promise of everlasting life, which can help ward off depression and despair. "You shall see and be radiant," promises Isaiah. "Your heart shall thrill and rejoice." When the light of Christ illuminates our lives, we realize there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ's light changes our attitude toward the world around us. Jesus helps us to see the world in a new light, one that reveals that the people around us are not enemies or opponents. They are human beings made in the image and likeness of God. The light of Christ gives us strategies for navigating challenges such as forgiving instead of punishing, instead of narrow self-interest. Jesus invites us to see ourselves not as members of a particular family or community or nation, but as citizens of the glorious kingdom of God. And Jesus invites us into the reign of God. When we walk in the glory of the light of Christ, we discover that the goal of our lives is not to earn the most money or win the most awards, to gather the most possessions or close the most deals. Instead, it is to be the authentic humans that God created us to be. The goal of our lives is to be full human beings standing in the presence of our loving Lord. When we experience the light of God and are covered with the glory of God, we cannot help but arise and shine. God has come to us. Our salvation is here, so arise and shine. The light and glory of God are upon us. Last year, I introduced the spiritual practice of star words or star gifts. So Brad, if you want to start passing those out. On Epiphany, the Magi followed a star to find Jesus, and I have selected some intentional words and written them on star cutouts. Now, this is mine from last year. I kept it in the pulpit to remind me, and last year my word was trust. I would ask that all of you, if you wish, choose a star from the basket, and I chose mine blindly, and this year my word is strength. So I want you to keep it someplace where you will see it often and reflect on how God has moved through your life in connection to this word. And I apologize because some of them, when I was writing them with the marker, because it's a shiny surface, they kind of smeared. So if you can't read your word, let me know and I'll tell you what it is, or I'll make you up a new one. This spiritual practice is a metaphor for the Magi's journey of discovery, symbolizing God's light and guidance breaking into the world and our lives. It is a way to look for God. It is a way to receive God's grace and allow God to guide spiritual growth. I'm going to wait for everyone to grab a word. I know I had to laugh last year that Bill Lathrop shared with me afterwards. Sorry, Bill. That his word was dependability, right? Do I remember correctly? If there is not anyone on earth more dependable than Bill Lathrop, I don't know who is, but I thought that was funny that he reached in and pulled out a word and it was dependability. We're getting there. See if you would all sit up close to the front. This would have been over with by now. But I know that UCC is really deep within you. Does everyone have one now? Well, I want you to hold your star in your hand, look at that word, and I want you to focus on your word during the following blessing. As stars have guided wise ones for centuries, may your word guide you in the year ahead. By the radiance of your star and the power of the Holy Spirit, may you live with deep attention. May you find the holy and delightfully unexpected places. May you worship with joy, give with gratitude, and follow the new way home that God will provide. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.